Breeze 100.9 and 92.7. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share your thoughts, your perspective, and your views on a broad range of issues impacting your neighborhood, your community, your city, our nation, and indeed our world. We have another great show for you this morning. The Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure is on the front lines in the fight against breast cancer. The organization's Charlotte branch plays an integral role in providing education and awareness, as well as financial resources to help women not only battle breast cancer, but to survive and live. In the studio with me this morning is Sarah Bailey, Director of Community Outreach for Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. Also joining me is Reba Whaley. Ms. Whaley is a paralegal by profession and a breast cancer survivor. So get ready, family, for another great show on Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland, giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9, Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Ladies, thank you so much for joining me this morning. We're having so much fun in the studio, and certainly I am excited that you're here to talk about a very important issue, and that is, of course, breast cancer. The Race for the Cure was a huge success, and I certainly celebrate the event last week. You had about 24,000 people participating in the event, raising $1.1 million. Talk a little bit about, Sarah, talk a little bit about the outpouring of support that Susan G. Komen enjoys from the city of Charlotte.
Okay, we have a lot of support, and actually we are up to $1.2 million raised from our race last Saturday so far.
Okay.
And we have a goal of $1.5 to help uninsured and underinsured individuals in the community.
Mm-hmm.
But we have just a lot of support. I mean, 24,000 people, that's amazing.
Right.
It really is. And it's the Charlotte community, and we cover 9 counties. So it's actually people from all of our 9 counties, and people from outside North Carolina come to the race as well.
Now, there were 16,000 registered runners
yes.
this year.
Registered walkers or runners.
Okay.
A lot of people walk.
Now, did you participate? Did you run?
I did not. No, I was working in Grantee Village.
Okay.
We had a new thing with our grants this year, so mm-hmm. people could go around and play grant bingo.
Okay.
And learn about the grants and where the money goes.
Right, right. Now, breast cancer is perhaps the number one health concern for women. As a nation, how have we approached this issue? Give me your thoughts and perspective about what the nation has done to deal with this issue.
I think that one thing to note about that in overall is Komen has been, they've kind of been involved with breast cancer for over 30 years, and they've had their hands in research, and we do grants and survivorship. We have a little bit of everything covered.
Mm-hmm. Awareness.
Awareness, yes.
Okay. And Reba, talk a little bit about your experience with Susan G. Komen.
Okay. I was diagnosed in July 2007, and actually I had no insurance throughout my treatment. And the very first mammogram I had, which was the diagnostic mammogram that actually confirmed the diagnosis of cancer, was paid for by a Susan G. Komen grant.
Mm-hmm.
So had I not had that very first mammogram and had it covered, because that's the that's the piece I think people with insurance don't always get. It's not only are you going to have to deal with this sickness, but you're also you've got that stress of, well, how am I going to pay for all of this?
Yeah.
How much is it going to cost? How much does the mammogram cost? And now, how much am I going to have to pay for it? And oh, by the way, let me deal with this cancer thing as well.
Right.
So
right.
It was a great relief when the nurse came in and said, don't worry about the mammogram. That's covered.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's how I got involved with Komen.
Now, do you find that there are many women out there who might have that misperception that the cost is so enormous that they find themselves not getting a screening?
Sadly, I do. And I was one of those women. I was one of the, I knew I had no insurance,
yeah.
and I was a working mom. And so whenever I would think about my health at all, I would put it off because I'd say, well, I don't have time to get sick. And I can't afford to get sick until I got sick. And so one of the things that I like to do now is talk with women who are underinsured or uninsured and say, there are resources out there. You are not alone. You can do this, and you can do this without any I mean, ideally, no one wants to go through cancer treatment with no insurance. But if that's the position you find yourself in, you are not alone, and it is not a hopeless situation to be in.
Now, when you were first diagnosed, talk a little bit about what you were feeling. Was there some dread, some trepidation about being diagnosed with breast cancer?
I don't think anyone who's ever gotten a cancer diagnosis doesn't feel that moment of dread and fear, because it is, I mean, it's a big word, and cancer is a big bully. And so when I was first diagnosed, I remember sitting in the office with the radiologist and the breast cancer navigator, and I really did think, okay, now I'm going to die. And I'm going to die because I have, in part because I have cancer, but in part because I have no insurance. And then in that next instance, I thought, I don't have time to die. I've got a 15-year-old daughter at home, and I'm a single mother, and I've got things I want to do, and I want to see her grow up. And so I don't have time to die. So then you get into sort of a fight mode where you're like, okay, what do I need to do to make this not go away, but to fight it and conquer it and keep moving?
So having that fight mentality, getting into that mode, helped you overcome the fear?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It counteracted it.
Now, I've been married for 20 years, and my wife, she had her mammogram a few weeks ago, and and I was really blessed to, first of all, have her take the responsibility of going out and getting the breast exam. And of course, the diagnosis, there was no diagnosis, and so we were happy about that. But it struck me that the potential is there. Mm-hmm. So how do family members respond to the potential of breast cancer?
I think family members have to acknowledge, especially if you've got a survivor within your family, you have to acknowledge that it can happen to you, that it can happen to anyone who has breast. So with that being said, you have to be proactive. I'm always happy. I just said yay because your wife got her mammogram. And so I'm always happy when women come up to me, and they will, and say, I got my mammogram. And I say, yay. But the other part of that is you have to also be vigilant on your own. You have to do the self-examinations.
Right.
Because so many women I meet, including myself, I found the lump.
Right.
And so you can do one, but you're going to get that mammogram once a year. But you need to be doing the self-examinations every month. And I think with all of that put together, you're covering all your bases. And all the women and men in the family need to be vigilant about their health. And so one, to me, there's been many good things that have come out of having breast cancer, but one of the best things is that now I can talk to people within my family and say, don't be foolish.
Right.
Don't be blind, and don't act like this can't happen to you. Just because we don't have a history of breast cancer, well, yeah, now we do.
Yeah.
Because I'm your history.
In case you're just tuning in, we're talking with Sarah Bailey, Director of Community Outreach for the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, and Reba Whaley, a breast cancer survivor. October, of course, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure is on the front line in the fight against breast cancer. Now, Sarah, I had an opportunity to go on the website and review some of the things that the website offers in terms of trends and in terms of dealing with diagnosis and mammograms. And one of the interesting things that I found, it talks about white women having a higher rate of developing breast cancer than any other racial or ethnic group. However, among women under age 45, African Americans have a higher incidence of breast cancer than white women. They are also more likely to be diagnosed with larger tumors than white women. Hispanic and Latino women have a lower incidence of breast cancer than white women. They are more likely to be diagnosed with larger tumors and late stage breast cancer than white women. How can we as a nation, how can women, how can the Susan G. Komen and the Cancer Society, how can we reverse these trends?
I think what's really important related to the statistics that you just said is that early detection is the best protection. And so what happens is when people don't get their mammograms because maybe they're uninsured or maybe they're just scared if they go that something might be found. If they go and something is found and they're stage one, stage two, if it's caught early, there's a better chance of survival and better chance of getting rid of the cancer. So it's really important that people know know to go get their mammograms. Right. And it's important for families to rally around the person who needs to get their mammogram and encourage them to go, even if they're scared.
Yeah.
And like Reba said, just knowing that there's a place that people can call, which is the Charlotte affiliate of Susan G. Komen for the Cure. They can call us if they don't have insurance.
Yeah.
To get a mammogram or any other breast health services that that they need. So we get called on a daily basis, and right. we definitely encourage people to call because we have we granted out $1.4 million to help uninsured individuals in our community right. this year.
Now, all racial and ethnic groups in the United States are more likely than African-American women to survive. For 5 years after being diagnosed with breast cancer, the 5-year survival rates for white women is 90%, African-American women 77%, Hispanic women 84%, Asian women 91%, Pacific Islander women 85%, American Indian, Alaska Native women 86%. Outside of early exams and treatment, is there anything on the horizon, anything that you know that is actually coming in terms of a cure? Do we have hope that there is going to be a cure?
Oh, I mean, we definitely have hope that there's a cure. I mean, that's in our mission at Komen is to save lives and end breast cancer forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely coming, hopefully sooner than yeah. later. Komen does a lot of research for breast cancer and specific types of breast cancer to try to find the cures. Right now in North Carolina, there's $15 million. In Komen grants for breast cancer.
Wow.
That's just in North Carolina. And
wow.
it's nationwide mm-hmm. That we're definitely working to find a cure. And we're doing that locally with the grants as well.
Yeah. Reba, being a survivor, obviously there are some ups and downs. Talk a little bit about those extremes in your life.
Well, I think obviously, you know, the diagnosis is a down, and then after the diagnosis, there's a whirlwind of activities and tests and consultations. But I think one of the lowest points, bar none, is taking chemotherapy
mm-hmm.
and the side effects of chemotherapy, you know, has on you. But at this point, because of research, I'm a 5-year survivor, so I am not that far out from the experience. And yet it is now becoming a different experience for women who are having to take chemotherapy. They're with research and new trials and drugs. Mm-hmm. They're coming up with better ways so the chemo can pinpoint the cancer cells and do its damage to the cancer cells, which is what you want, but yet not disturb other cells within the body, because it's the disturbance of other cells. It's the killing of the, you know, your hair cells and your fast growing cells in your skin that cause the side effects. So the further we get out, well, the further I get away from treatment, the happier I am in terms of seeing the advances
yeah.
that are being made by research helped by Komen grants and things like that. Because if you talk to a survivor, let's say 15 or 20 year survivor, mm-hmm. and those are all my sheroes. But if you talk to them, the treatment that they had and the options that they had are so much. They had so few options then versus what I had. And mm-hmm. now survivors are having even more options than what I had.
Well, one of the things that I'm enamored with is your energy. I mean, there is incredible vibrancy in your spirit. And even when I met you downstairs, it was something about your spirit. And I think that provides a lot of hope for women.
Well, thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You. I'm passionate about this.
Yeah, but what's at the core of all of that vibrancy?
Good Southern optimism. I'm a good Southern girl. And I just, you know, my mother, she went with me when I was diagnosed. And from the very moment of diagnosis, she said to the nurse, what do we need to do now?
Mm-hmm,
what do
mm-hmm.
we need to do? And that was sort of my family's, that was my family's goal. What yeah. do we need to do now? What yeah. do we need to do now? And so I did vow, as I laid on the couch in October, sick from chemo,
mm-hmm.
when the race with the brace in 2007 was going on, I said, God, if you will get me through this, I promise you next year, A, I will do the race, and B, I will do everything I can to talk about this, because no one talk to me about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I would see, I gave money to Susan G. Coleman for years and years and years, and I did things like that. But no one ever said to me, this could happen to you.
Yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
all kind of mm-hmm. acted like if it wasn't in your family, it wasn't going to happen mm-hmm. to you. And yet that is so untrue.
Well, which of course leads me to the question when you mentioned God is, again, the role of faith in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so talk a little bit about that.
Once again, I'm a good Southern girl. Go to a Baptist church. Raised there.
Amen.
Yeah. Went to Vacation Bible School and Sunday school. But one of the things that, and I jokingly say this, but it is very true, is that when you are up at 3:00 in the morning and you are sick and you are confronted with this disease and the treatment is almost as bad as the diagnosis, you become close to something.
Yeah.
And in my case, I became very close to God. And mm-hmm. I started to walk with the Lord hand in hand. Because at 3:00 in the morning, there's no one else up.
Yeah.
And so I started to pray. But I prayed in such a way that it felt more like I was having a conversation with the best friend I was ever going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I just kept getting the feeling, you're going to get through this. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And there will be a reason why all of this is happening. Nothing is happening just because.
Now, Sarah, do you find that Reba's spirituality, her faith, her journey, is that indicative of what women are feeling and experiencing out there when they are diagnosed with breast cancer and, of course, during treatment?
Like I said, I think everybody has their own journey.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people might have a similar journey as Reba where they turn very strongly to their faith. And
yeah.
It's just really an individual. Yeah. It's very individual.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the Susan G. Coleman for the Cure enjoys substantial support from women, foundations, and organizations all over the country, but there is still more people can do. Talk a little bit about how people can help.
Okay, well, I'll like to tell you where our money goes.
Okay, sure.
At Coleman Charlotte. So 75% of the funds that we raise are given out in grants.
Mm-hmm.
To nonprofit organizations in our 9-county service area. And they're the ones that actually provide the free breast health services, including mammograms, health education, lymphedema services, support groups to people in need.
Mm-hmm.
25% goes to the breast cancer research that we were talking about earlier,
right.
A lot of that going back to North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So if people want to come out, I mean, there's about 6 people on staff. So we always need volunteers. So if you want to volunteer, we have plenty of opportunities for that. Donating so that we can serve just as many people as we served last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, right now we've raised $1.2 million in order to reach the same amount of people, the same number of individuals. We have to get to that $1.5 million dollar number. So you can do that. I mean, just supporting our events, Race for the Cure, Laugh for the Cure. Something else that I would like to tell you about is Pink Sunday. And that is it's free for anybody, and it's for churches. It's a breast health education and awareness day in African American churches in our 9 counties. Last year, we had over 160 churches
wow.
in 8 counties. So
wow.
we would love to increase that number and keep educating. And we provide, Coleman Charlotte provides all the materials
now,
for the churches.
Now, Sarah, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
You are passionate about this as well. Why are you involved?
You know, I came to Coleman as an intern,
mm-hmm.
and I just fell in love with the mission, and I fell in love with the people, and just talking to survivors and talking to just people like Reba. I mean, how can you not get the
Absolutely.
Passion from Reba?
Yeah. I find that I want to go exercise now. I just want to go do
whatever
something.
Whatever Reba tells you, you will do.
I want to get something done.
Exactly. But it's a great mission. And, you know, breast cancer affects everyone.
Yeah.
Literally
yeah.
everyone. And so everyone in some way has been touched mm-hmm. by breast cancer. So it's really important to me as well. And seeing people get involved and being able to help educate people to, you know, get your mammogram. And, oh, if you're not insured, you know, call us and we'll be able to help you with that. It's very rewarding.
Absolutely. Reba, what is your best argument for women getting screened for breast cancer?
I think my best argument
yeah.
is me.
I
no, I always, because I didn't do any of the things I advocate for now. Right. So I know all of the excuses you can give me. I know all of the reasons why you're not, you know, women aren't doing what they need to do, and then I can rebuke, but every single one of them, yeah. And I can say at the end of the day, early detection is the answer, yes. Because I have friends who caught their cancers in stage zero. There is a stage zero breast cancer, mm-hmm. and stage one breast cancer, and their journey in just in terms of the impact, physical impact on their lives, is so much different than mine. I basically had the full blown everything, and I don't want anyone to go through 6 rounds of chemotherapy, yeah. and 33 and a half rounds of radiation if they don't have to, yeah. And why would you want to if you don't have to? Well, you don't. You have options. You can do early detection and nip it in the bud, basically, as Barney Fife would say. Mm-hmm. Or you can wait and ignore it and act like it's going to go away and do the Reba Whaley school of breast cancer and end up very scared,
yeah.
having a very large tumor removed, having lymph node involvement and chemotherapy and radiation and all of those things. And why in the world would you want to go through that? And so I tell women, you don't want my journey. And I, more importantly, don't want you to have my journey.
Absolutely.
But the only way to not have this journey is to early detection. Do your self-examinations. Do everything you need to do to take care of yourself. And at the end of the day, we won't, meaning African-American women, we can affect that mortality rate.
Yeah.
We can affect the rate of late stage breast cancer, because it's so logical. If you catch cancer early, it goes bye-bye. If you catch cancer later, it's been sitting there a while with you. You've been carrying it around like luggage,
yeah.
and it can stay with you. And that's what you don't want. You don't want the bully to move in with you. You want the bully to hit you, and then you hit it back.
Yeah.
So whenever people say, you know, well, why should I do this? And I look at them and go, let's sit down and talk for a minute.
Absolutely.
I got some stories. Wait a minute. Let me pull out some pictures and say that you don't have to do this.
Absolutely.
You don't have to go through this.
Well, we have just about a minute left in the show, and each of you can answer this question. If screening reveals that cancer does exist, what is the immediate or first thing that a woman should do?
Educate, I think, and get a good doctor.
Yeah. I think Reba could speak to this, that a lot of women have told us that, you know, when you first get that diagnosis, that they just kind of go blank and
mm-hmm.
they can't think, and they have to kind of go home and talk to their family for a minute and process, and then go back and hear what the doctor has to say. And there are a lot of options, as Reba said, for treatment. There's a lot of options now. So talking to their doctors about it, talking to nurse navigators are mm-hmm. wonderful people. And then there's, you know, organizations like at Komen, we can't help you decide what treatment is right for you, but we can connect you with people like Reba and support groups that you'll have that family of breast cancer survivors to speak to help you make, you know, help you understand the decisions that you're making, in addition to the healthcare provider.
Sarah, if there are women out there that needs to contact Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, how can they reach you?
Okay, they can reach, I can actually give them my direct line, because I refer people to the organizations that provide the services, mm-hmm. and it's 704-817-4078.
Okay, and what about the website?
www.komencharlotte.org.
Absolutely. Well, Sarah, Reba, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And I will say, Reba, your energy is so contagious. I am absolutely going to run up and down these stairs.
Maybe I should get some of my own energy.
Well, again,
thank you, ladies, so much. I certainly
appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. We'll be back in a moment. Praise 100.9 and 92.7. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. I'd like to again thank Sarah Bailey and Reba Whaley for joining me this morning to talk about the very important issue of breast cancer. The Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure is doing great work in providing the necessary resources to help women prevent, detect, and survive
breast cancer. I strongly urge all women to get their mammograms. If you'd like more information about the services the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure provides, please log on to their website, www.5.komen.org, and for their Charlotte affiliate, www.komencharlotte.org. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland@yahoo.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.